Hello! Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category 5.TV newsroom. Your health tracker is poised to provide your personal data to the highest bidder. Mario is available for iOS. Yahoo was hacked again, big time, years ago, and it's just coming out now. Lonely and live alone? A Japanese company is now selling lifelike anime girlfriends. The catch is they're very tiny and they can't leave their cage. And at least two major players in the space race claim that they have working prototypes for a new type of space engine that can get us to Mars in just 10 weeks with no fuel. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost. For just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on
it's
on
true.
There. If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
I'm Sasha Dermatis, and here are the top stories for the week of December 21st, 2016. If you use a Fitbit or Apple Watch, you probably love the health insights you get from your wearable. You know how much you move, how well you sleep, and have likely started tracking patterns and trends as soon as you have enough time logged. But you're not alone. There are tons of advertisers and big pharma companies interested in your personal health data. And according to researchers, they can get it almost as easily as you can. An extensive report published by the Center for Digital Democracy and American University tackles the complicated issue of health wearables and big data systems from every angle. It comes to a troubling conclusion. There are almost no privacy safeguards in place for consumer health data, and multiple industries are ready and willing to mine the system for profit. According to the report, there are benefits of a connected health system like personalized insurance policies and improved emergency services. Wearable makers Apple and Fitbit have even partnered with healthcare companies in an effort to collect user data for just that reason. But the good of a connected health system could be marred by the potential for abuse by unscrupulous data practices. The report warns many of these devices are already being integrated into a growing big data digital health and marketing ecosystem, which is focused on gathering and monetizing personal health data in order to influence consumer behavior. You can assume that the data your wearable collects isn't just between you and your app. That might not even bother you for now, but as the devices and the connected health systems evolve, more and more of your private life might be up for grabs. I love my Fitbit, and I totally would love if my Fitbit could somehow even call an emergency service if something was wrong with, say, my heartbeat, right?
I've fallen
I like
and I
that.
Can't get up.
Right?
It's
like I like that idea, but I don't like the idea of them, like, say, upping my health insurance, we'll say, if I wasn't
that.
Moving that much.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Right?
Right.
But I also think that if they were to be tracking, say, big groups of people and coming up with some sort of analysis on just the generalized health, they would have the wrong data set because people who wear Fitbits are more likely, or not just Fitbit. I just throw that
out
there.
Yeah, they're the big ones, yeah.
Yeah, they're more likely to actually be active. So it actually gives a false positive, I think. Mm.
My watch, Sasha, is steampunk.
Yeah, and it's
I have
super
to
cool.
wind it. I have to wind my watch. It doesn't even have a battery.
That's cool.
it doesn't track me. What creeps me out about this kind of tracking and the ability for somebody to buy this type of information is there's a fine line. Advertising is very targeted these days, mm-hmm. and that's fabulous on a site like ours, where if we do a show about quadcopters, you'll probably see advertisements about quadcopters. It makes sense because yeah. that's what you're watching. That's what you're interested in. If you're on Facebook and you're having a chat and you've liked a couple of things that have to do with kittens, you'll probably start seeing ads for cats.
Mm-hmm.
Just to, because I figure Facebook is all about cats. yeah, it's true.
Mostly.
So what if all of a sudden those ads start turning to things like diabetic candy and
right.
things that are very specific to an individual's health?
Well, that's like, I'm very into my Fitbit, so I even have the scale, my smart scale that emails yeah. me when the battery's low. So I weigh myself daily, which means that my daily weight fluctuations
right.
are actually that. Accessible.
So they might. So it,
they might
an
throw
event,
some diet.
Like for me, I'm kind of up and down a little bit and a little bit. And so, you know, especially at the holiday time, now is the advertising going to start to be, now it's not a problem for me, but for someone who's wearing these devices, are they going to see these fluctuations and say, start advertising something like, I don't know, flex belt or something like that, or,
right.
you know, whatever.
Or
else
all of a sudden you're
weight.
Declined if you try to say, apply for some sort of insurance.
That's where it starts to get very creepy. Okay, see, I don't like that.
I don't think that's possible.
You don't think so?
No, because then that
doesn't become part of your health record, though.
Yeah, but to decline you based on the fact that you aren't performing as well on this device
sure.
is discriminatory, as far as I'm concerned. It's no different than having.
But it's your health record,
right? But it's no different than having, say, insurance savings by getting that device in your car that shows how your driving is. So if anything, to use the Fitbit to, or whatever health tracking electronic you
sorry
have.
Fitbit, we keep saying your name.
So but to reduce your insurance, I could see that, but to deny you or to increase your premiums, that's a big no-no, because the moment they do that, you're gonna have somebody who's gonna challenge them in court saying, but the person who doesn't have that device,
right.
their premiums didn't go up, so why are you discriminating against me because I bought this device? And they'll win that one in court very easily. Because if
for
that's
now.
The case, people are just going to turn around and go, well, I'm not going to buy the
device. They'll become compulsory.
Yeah, but I just... why is this a surprise?
It's not.
Like, I don't think it's a surprise. It's more like a creepy, like,
yeah.
oh, this is actually happening.
No, what's creepy, I think, is that news story coming up about the girlfriend in a cage.
Well, let's find out
let's
more.
Find out let's, more about that.
Let's move along.
Okay. Games company Nintendo has now rolled out with Super Mario Run for Run to iPhones and iPads. Nintendo had initially shunned smartphones, preferring to focus on its own hardware. However, weak sales of its Wii U console and a decline in demand for the 3DS handheld caused the firm to sustain large financial losses, putting it under pressure to change tack. The app marks the first time the firm has created a smartphone game based on its most famous character. It follows the successful release of Pokemon Go earlier in the year. Nintendo owns a minority stake in the Pokemon company, but the title was developed by a third party. Super Mario Run takes the Super Mario Brothers format, where the character sprints from left to right, collecting coins, jumping over obstacles, and squishing enemies, and tweaks the gameplay to make it easy to play on a one-handed touchscreen. For now, the title is restricted to Apple's iOS platform, but Nintendo has said it will come to Android at some point in the future. Nintendo's domestic rival Sony is also making an effort to create games for iOS and Android based on its PlayStation brands. It revealed last week that a new Parappa the Rapper title and an Everybody's Golf game are currently being developed. When I first read this story, I really thought, because Pokemon Go was in the actual story itself, that it was going to be an augmented reality game with Mario, where
Mario
like you would actually like have to run and jump, and I liked it, especially if you're wearing a Fitbit. It would be great. It's not that. It's just a game on your phone.
It's just a game. It's Mario. And people are complaining that you have to pay £10 for it.
Yeah, after level 3, you have to pay. I think you can play for free until level 3, and then you pay like a chunk of money.
So I wonder if maybe they haven't done it right, mm-hmm. as far as like marketing and sales goes, especially when Pokemon Go was available free to play, right? Mm-hmm. But with Mario, I mean, they're playing into the nostalgic aspect of, hey, I would love to have this for my kids because I played it growing up on the NES. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But maybe they've done it wrong. But it does, to me, signify a revolution in the company because of the fact that they're actually bringing their games to other platforms, which has always been a no-no for Nintendo. Like, you wouldn't see Mario on Sega Genesis officially.
Right.
But see, I'm interested to see how this plays out with the new Nintendo unit that the Nintendo Switch, I think it's called.
Oh yes.
Where you just move it from a console a handheld
for the addicts that can't be without their video game.
I'm interested to see how this plays in, and will they have porting of your app over into the game?
Yeah, who knows?
You know, to try and pull
you
back in.
You may have to buy it again.
I would like to just welcome you all into my brain. Imagine how much better this would be if it was an augmented reality game.
I'm picturing like the 3D aspects of Paper Mario, where you're running like headlong in first person view and able to do some, and then the pipe pops up, and that would be pretty neat as augmented reality.
So cool.
I agree. That would be fun. That would be worth my $10.
All right. Now, something not so cool. Yahoo has said data from more than 1 billion accounts may have been hacked, and this is separate from the hack they revealed back in September. Should you be worried, and what can you do to protect yourself in the future? People might suppose the breach is unlikely to affect them because the attack happened 3 years ago and there was no widely reported abuse of the data in the meantime. However, hackers might have targeted users' emails. Yahoo has said it is also investigating a later separate issue that might have made some accounts accessible without passwords. Yahoo has reassured its users, "We continuously enhance our safeguards and systems that detect and prevent unauthorized access to user accounts." Some may not think of themselves as Yahoo users, but the firm has provided email services for several ISPs as well, such as BT, Sky, and Rogers. It's also worth remembering that Yahoo acquired Flickr in 2005.
Oh.
Yahoo has said, though, that accounts for Tumblr, which it also owns, would not have been affected. Change your passwords, but once this password is changed, it is also recommended that you change all of your passwords on all accounts that you use and make sure that you use a different one for each, which I really need to do.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you don't realize that, okay, your password is now out there from when you signed up for Flickr.
Right.
Because Yahoo has been hacked. And so now if you also use that for your email on Hotmail or Gmail or wherever, and you use it for your online banking or you use it for anything else, now all of a sudden you are very at a very dangerous spot.
Mm-hmm. But the that Yahoo, did you say they also do Rogers?
Yeah.
Yeah, they provide Rogers' email.
Like, Rogers is massive in Canada.
Yeah.
That's, wow.
It's a big deal. So we have an episode with a password recipe maker, right?
Hillary and I actually, Sasha, talked about how to create password recipes to add entropy to your password. And there's a really cool tool, if you haven't seen it already, how safe is my password? .com. Let's see. Let me just confirm that before you actually type it into your browser. No, how secure is my password.com. How secure is my password.com. No, that is not it. Ah, oh, come on. Is it gone? How secure. Let me find it for you, folks. .net. .net. My mistake. Please make sure you go to the right one. How secure is my password.net? So, Sasha, throw me just make up a fake password that would be about the same entropy of something that you would use.
Okay, what about if I put category 5, but the E was a 3?
Oh, okay. Category 5. That would take a single computer 42 minutes to crack that password.
Oh, none of my passwords are safe.
Yeah.
This just in.
Yeah, that's a helpful tool to be able to show you kind of how safe your password is.
Oh, I'm so sad about this.
So with our password recipe episode, we learned to create really strong passwords that are memorable to you but impossible for someone else to figure out. And the interesting thing about password recipes is that you can actually write it down, you can have it stuck as a sticky note on your monitor,
right?
And yet if someone were to sit down at your computer and try to hack into your account, they wouldn't be able to get in because it's a recipe. It's not the actual password. It's a recipe. So it's you've got to watch that episode. I don't want to, you know, regurgitate
the same
stuff.
Watch that. But I do have to tell you, like, the quickest tiny story about how really insecure my passwords really are is that I wrote on a post-it note all of my accounts and all of my passwords and had it in my wallet. The sticky note fell out of my wallet.
Oh, no.
Luckily I found it on the ground, but I literally had everything there.
Crazy.
Okay.
All right. Next up?
Next
this
up.
This one is really creepy.
This is totally creepy. The future is apparently here, and it's creepier than we ever imagined. A Japanese company called Vinclue is now taking pre-orders from Japan and the United States for a new interactive, artificial intelligence-driven home automation system, or as the promos make it appear, a virtual girlfriend for lonely businessmen. Called Gatebox, the new Internet of Things product takes Amazon's Alexa, Google Home, Spike Jonze's film Her, and the holographic anime characters of Vocaloid concerts to their unified natural conclusion. While it may appear Gatebox is a cage for a subservient little anime princess, part of the device's backstory is that Gatebox is in fact a gateway to the dimension the character lives in. Gatebox, priced at about $2,700 US, is targeted at young lonely guys and anime-obsessed nerds, promising the experience of living with your favorite character while in reality living with no one. It's roughly the size of a home coffee maker, and its main feature is a clear projection tube that displays a computer animated avatar for the AI's character. Vinclue is planning multiple possible personalities for Gatebox. Gatebox's website proclaims she will always do all she can for the owner. Just for the owner. Voiced by Japanese actress Yuka Hayamizu, the character has her own website with a backstory that explains how she was invited to cross dimensions for a homestay with a master on Earth. This is just a sad and this is a sad story, really.
Technology is amazing. They can do this now, and this is what they do.
The one thing that I like about this, though, is it's an integrated, like, home situation, right? So this...
Sure.
This...
Automated home.
Automated... Yeah, this girl, we'll call her, she knows that you're on your way home. She could possibly turn on the lights or start a pot of coffee or, you know, if she was connected with your kitchen, start cooking your meal.
You know, if you haven't seen it yet, you should get on to just whatever search engine, but probably Google because they own YouTube, and do a search for Gatebox. And just click on one of the videos and see the commercial, and you'll see what I'm saying when I say this is a really creepy way to do things. Because this thing will actually text to its real-world boyfriend and say, oh, honey, are you coming home soon?
There must there must be a level of interaction, right? You must be able to turn it up or turn it down.
AI, do you think so? Right? Do you think you can actually, like, let's not be a creepy, subservient little thing?
Yeah, well, but here's the benefit to it. I'm going to bright side this up. There are people out there who are very lonely who just really need the interaction through the day, and here it is. I mean, it's not real,
sure,
really, but
AI has come a long way, and you know, that's scary in and of itself, in some ways, because it leads to other things. But yeah, I can see that aspect of it. But where it crosses over from AI into reality, in that, you know, like the whole text messaging thing, because like I met my wife on ICQ,
right.
And so up until we met in person, we had never looked into each other's eyes. We'd never seen each other. And yet we were in love. So isn't it a dangerous thing to think that someone could fall in love with an apparition?
But it's already happening.
Sure. Like, but this takes it to a whole new level of creepy.
Absolutely it does. This on so many levels is just wrong.
But just isn't it just wrong. A little bit right in the way that people don't have to be alone any longer?
Look, this yeah. isn't like a Tony Stark. This isn't a Tony Stark Jarvis situation. Like, it's not the same as having a computer voice around your house. It's like, hey, what's going on? I did this today. Like, there's a visual aspect to it, which in turn creates an emotional connection.
I'm giving you the fact that the actual visual thing, I'm not, like, loving the actual character.
Yeah, okay.
She looks cold.
So maybe she could be, like, Patrick Stewart's head.
Yeah. Can you...
Are you coming home soon?
If you threw in, like, a virtual... Patrick Stewart head, people would go, oh, this is okay.
It's a Star Trek toy now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But because it's a unspecified character, full body
character. These can actually be characters from anime.
You get to pick
that
characters.
You are already reading their manga comics and stuff.
But there's...
Could you make it, like, from the comic books, like Archie Comics? Could you have, like, you choose, like Betty or Veronica?
Yeah, you want Betty.
You know that feeling you get? You just go, I got that feeling.
It's the uncanny valley, I think is the technical
yes,
term.
Yes, true.
I have no clue what you call it, but... Yeah. I mean, so from a... remove the tech side of it and the creepy side of it. I think there's also the fact that this is a social side of it when you consider where it's being developed from. You've got a country like China that's...
This is Japan.
I know, but...
Does that...
I understand it's coming from Japan, but like if you take a country like China where you're struggling with that gender balance
okay.
because of the years and years of the one-child rule. So you've got... And, I mean, this box is a whole another realm of people finding companionship when there's no actual companion there. This isn't a new thing.
I think
that's filling a need that can't be filled otherwise if there's no other companions there. And the only time I would say that this is actually a problem is if somebody were to be turning down real human interaction because they are...
Don't you think
they
want
to get home to their
like
computer?
Like, if you look at the commercial and she says... Why don't you leave work early tonight,
That's
honey?
That's creepy. That one's bad.
Why don't you leave work early tonight, honey? Come home to me, she says.
But from a psychological standpoint, this is already happening. There are people who are already shirking off physical human connection for computer connection. People are starting to identify it as a type of sexuality. This just plays into that.
Right. I don't want anybody to ever be alone.
Yeah, no, there's
get a dog.
That's my thinking. But what do you folks think? Like, comment below. Let us know what you think about Gatebox, and go watch the commercial because it's very interesting technology. It's very, very smart, very intelligent,
cool technology,
very
concept.
Cool. And I think it could have really, really good uses, but I think our concerns could be justified. Sasha's like, no, I just had this great idea
for people who don't actually want to have their own kids, but they want to like a baby. They could make like a baby gate box where it just like wakes up at 3 a.m. just screaming uncontrollably until you like soothe it back.
What goes through your mind?
See, I do have to give kudos to Agamotto in the chat room right now who brought up a good point about somebody who may be autistic, where maybe you can't socially interact with people.
As an educational tool and as a social, yeah.
Sure. So, I mean,
that makes me think of education.
I can see there's benefits to it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I look at the photo you got up on the screen. The guys are in a suit.
That's a screenshot
from the
commercial
itself. I think that they picked the wrong image for it. They picked the wrong commercial image.
You mean the tight miniskirt?
They picked the wrong character for the anime, and they picked the wrong character for the businessman. Because I don't necessarily think that's exactly how it would go. I think that maybe it would be somebody who might have a little bit more of a social anxiety situation that really just wants the connection.
So there can be some benefits here. Certainly.
Okay, now I'm going to throw a whole new spin on it. But I do realize that time is going on. But we just had this topic about the Fitbit and the sport watches.
Yes.
Tracking all your kind of stuff. Imagine now marketing from this standpoint.
Yeah, she would be like, hey, you're getting fat.
Well, say you're your gate box individual is part of the Internet of Things, and suddenly, you know, you carry on this conversation about, you know, how was your day? Oh, it was great. I dealt with this, this, this at work. And all of a sudden, your box is collecting data for corporate espionage.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, because of these conversations, all of a sudden it turns around and goes, well, you know, I heard of this product. You should try this. Like,
so smart.
This is the making of a movie, I think.
Yeah, that's true. I was thinking more like you get up in the middle of the night and you try to get a snack and your fridge is locked.
Wasn't there already a movie?
I don't know, but Sasha made a funny comment before the show that you bring home a real life girlfriend and this thing detects her cell phone. It says, honey, what are you doing?
Exactly.
Who is this? And starts doing things like wiping her phone and installing Trojans and all kinds of crazy stuff.
It's like a really bad dating version of Eagle Eye.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting movie.
Wow. I feel like we could do 1 hour on this news story alone.
Oh my goodness.
However, here's another great one.
You got another one?
Yes. The M-Drive propulsion system seems to cherry pick from the laws of physics and science fiction to produce an engine capable of getting humans to the moon in 10 days or to Mars in 10 weeks without any fuel.
Wow.
A leaked paper from NASA was posted online last month suggests that not only have researchers at Johnson Space Center in Houston been tinkering around with the idea, which a lot of people knew, but they have one that actually works. And now China has announced that it too has created a working prototype. It's one of the previously closely guarded experiments being conducted on the Chinese space lab recently put into orbit. At a press conference in Beijing yesterday, researchers with the China Academy of Space Technology, or CAST, said the government had been funding the research for about 6 years, and all that the NASA results do is confirm what they have already achieved. CAST also plans to put their impossible reactionless engines to work powering satellites as soon as possible. The M-Drive engine defies Newton's third law of motion. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Jet engines burn fuel to power turbines to suck in the air and blast it out backwards to produce forward thrust. The M-Drive, however, ejects no opposite-directed mass or particles to produce forward thrust. Instead, it bounces microwaves around inside a cone-shaped metal chamber, which, because of the shape, produces thrust at the wider end. The concept is for the unit to convert sunlight in space into the needed microwaves, making a self-sustaining power plant that never needs a refill. Li Feng, chief designer at the China Academy of Space Technology's Communication Satellite Division, said the technology being tested in orbit right now is in the latter stages of the proof of principle phase, with the goal of making it available in satellites as quickly as possible. I love this idea for technology for even us on Earth, although as you probably couldn't do it in a car, but you could probably make something like this happen for power plants.
Sasha.
Yeah.
Gets us to Mars in 10 weeks.
Okay, it'd be fast.
Imagine putting this. Yeah, it'd be fast.
It'd be fast.
It currently takes 43 weeks, somewhere along there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think you'd want to put it in your car.
But I love it. I love the innovation.
But, I mean, if they made a smaller version of it, something that's the size of, say, a coffee cup in your car,
Right.
How big was the one that they made? It's not that big. Although it is a prototype. It's not, up in space flying to Mars right now.
Correct. Still, it's very cool.
I'm interested to find out where this goes. This is a technology that's...
To Mars.
In 10 promising. Weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be there. They're like, we're already there. Yeah.
Oh, I love
it. Very cool.
You know, the cool thing about this is if they could do Mars in 10 weeks, I can totally see this as we can get you to the moon in 3 hours.
Well, they said, 10
days? 10 hours.
Was it 10 hours?
Days, 10 days or 10 hours?
I think it was 10 days.
10 days.
Was it 10 days?
Yeah.
No, I don't
know. You're the news girl.
The moon is only three days as it is.
The moon?
To get to the moon. Isn't it only a 3-day flight?
I would expect it would take 30 days. Wouldn't it?
The moon?
No, it wouldn't.
The moon.
Now we're going to have to Google that.
The moon is a 3-day flight.
So what is it with this drive?
Isn't that what Apollo 13 taught us?
That was a movie. That wasn't even real life.
Oh,
it was
no.
Tom
yeah,
Hanks.
3 days to the moon, says everybody three in days the chat to the room.
Yes. But didn't you say 10 days? Maybe I'm just hearing.
No, it's 10 weeks to Mars, 3 days to the moon. But imagine, I mean, where's...
No, but so is it 10 hours?
Must be.
With this drive?
I know I read this, like, just
M-drive,
seconds ago, but I forget already.
Moon. M-drive moon. Everything you need to know about the M-drive thruster. That's yep. cool.
Could potentially make it to the moon in just a few... ...
This
I know.
Technology?
It literally says that. A reactionless drive could potentially make it to the moon in just a few... ... Thank you, Google.
Oh, look at that. To the moon
summary.
In four. I'm seeing four.
Four so hours.
I'm assuming four hours.
Yep. 4 hours.
But still, could you imagine that? Like, well, I don't feel like going to work today. I'm going to go to the moon.
Let's go to the moon.
It's like, hey, kids. Instead of Florida, we're going to the moon.
It certainly makes, you know, if they can colonize... Fantastic.
Why would you?
I don't think we should move humans to other planets only because we're really bad at this one.
Yeah.
Like, you don't think this one great.
By nature, explorers, though.
Yeah.
We need to go and explore. That's why video games are so popular. We love to go into worlds that do not exist in reality. We love to see what.
You know the concept that you can't get a living animal until you can keep a plant alive for a certain amount of time? Like, you shouldn't have a baby unless you can keep, like, you know, a houseplant or a pet alive.
Yeah, we start with a houseplant, then you can have a baby.
Right. Yeah, exactly. This is how I feel about Earth and then colonizing other planets.
Yeah, but...
Maybe focus on seeing if you can make this one work.
But we may... I mean, just exponential growth of human population, you're not going to have much of a choice.
It's a tough call, too, because you can't generalize. Entire civilizations cannot be generalized by... The what some people do.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, there
if you
won't
look at Earth as a whole,
there won't be exploding populations if everybody gets one of these new girlfriends.
Yeah.
And
there you go. Wow.
Population growth solved.
Oh,
right. So thanks for watching the Category 5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category 5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Dermatis.